welcome to the podcast, and hopefully you enjoy it. If you are a longtime listener, I'd appreciate that as always as well. Episode number 43, let's move on real quick to jersey number 43 for the Colorado Avalanche. Our most recent one, TJ Gagliardi, second round draft pick in the 2007 draft. I dare you to name any of the other three that wore the number 43 for the Avalanche. One is Mikhail Kuleshov. He was a first-round pick in 1999 for the Avalanche. He played in three games with the Avalanche in 2003 and 2004. Another one, Yaroslav Absut. He was signed as a free agent August 11th, 2001. He also played in three games for the Avalanche in the 2001-2002 season. And the other one, can you name it? Can you name it? Dan Smith was a seventh-round draft pick for the Avalanche in 1995. He played in 15 games between the 98-99 seasons and also the 99-2000 season. He had no points and 9 penalty minutes in those 15 games, and there are your jersey number 43s for the Avalanche. We're going with TJ Gagliardi because the other three, I do remember Dan Smith, but the others, they didn't play enough. So we're going with TJ Gagliardi, episode number 43 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche. All right, let's go ahead and get into the games. What a successful road trip for the Avalanche when everybody thought this was just going to be a lost cause at the beginning of the season. It wasn't. So here's the breakdown. The ninth game for the Avalanche this season, October 21st at the XL Energy Center against the Minnesota Wild. They lose this one in a shootout, 3-2. Brent Burns starts scoring for the Minnesota Wild. He scored his first of the year at 3:44. And then in the second period, the Avalanche got going just a little bit. David Krejci and Derek Bugard went toe-to-toe, as Mark Mosier likes to say on the radio. David Krejci didn't really beat this fight, but I don't know if anybody ever wins a fight against Derek Bugard, but he definitely showed some, shall we say, guts taking him on, and you have to give him some credit for that, and it kind of got the Avalanche going. Darcy Tucker at 4:25 scored his fourth of the year from Ryan O'Reilly and Kyle Quincy, and a very cool moment, what I talked about in the intro, Ryan O'Reilly's discussion with the referee after the goal. The puck kind of rolled up Nicholas Backstrom's right arm, ended up hitting like off the back of his right leg and into the net. It looked like Ryan O'Reilly might have been credited with the goal. The referee comes right over, says, "Hey, did you touch that?" Ryan O'Reilly says, "No, that's Tucker's goal. I never touched that at all." I thought that's, you know, that's why we all like hockey so much. So you look for those little discussions, and it makes you enjoy the hockey game just a little bit more, like I said. So, kudos to not necessarily Ryan O'Reilly, but that's how the game is. So that's why we love it. And then a little bit after that, kind of a funny moment, Cody McLeod closed his hand on the puck. It was very obvious he was in his own zone. He basically caught the puck and threw it out of the Avalanche zone underhanded. Dan Marinelli, the referee, the official, goes over to the Avs bench looking for number 51. And Sacco says, we don't have a number 51 on the bench. So how about here's Matt Hendricks. He's number 15. Go ahead and take him because we need Cody McLeod to kill penalties. They eventually got the right person in the box, but I just thought that was a funny moment. Joe Sacco was just kind of real cool about the whole thing and said, "Yeah, we don't have a number 51, but let's flip the numbers. You can take this guy instead." He wasn't on the ice, but you know, why not? So kind of a funny moment there. Anyways, back to hockey. 1807, Kyle Quincy scores his second of the season from Cody McLeod and Wojtek Wolski to tie the game at 1. Actually, that was to give the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. Sorry about that. Cody McLeod left the ice after this goal. He was high-sticked in the eye just before his shot that he took. He's a hockey player. He keeps playing. That's what they do. We haven't seen him since. There was no call on the play, which was kind of disappointing, but Quincy's goal on the rebound gives the Avalanche a 2-1 lead. The Avalanche outshoot the Wild 18-4 in the second period and had control of this one until 15:09 in the third period. Mikko Koivu scores his third of the season on the power play, gets the crowd back into the game. There was a hit late in the game by David Jones along the near boards, and the crowd loved this. Their own guy got smashed through the glass, and it was pretty interesting. The crowd really, really loved it. I just thought that was funny. They were up on their feet. So in the overtime, nothing going on in the shootout. Mikko Koivu scores the only goal for the Wild to give the Wild a 3-2 shootout win over the Avalanche. Craig Anderson, 24 saves with 26 shots. 17 of these shots from the Wild were on the power play, which, if you go ahead and do the math, 9 even strength shots for the Wild, and they get an extra point in this game. Kind of disappointing for the Avalanche. Nicholas Backstrom, 33 saves on 35 shots. Milan Hayduk, Paul Stastny, no points but 5 shots apiece. And Mikko Koivu, the first star of the night by far, a goal and assist and 5 shots for the Wild. 7 power play opportunities for the Wild is way too many, but the Avalanche do get a point on the road and end this long, long road trip at 4-1-2 when everybody thought this was going to basically be the end of the season. So good for them. October 21st, the Avalanche lose in the shootout against the Wild at XL Energy Center. Let me turn the page here, literally. The 10th game of the season, October 23rd, against the Carolina Hurricanes at Pepsi Center. The Avalanche win this one 5-4. Joe Corvo starts the scoring for the Canes, his first of the year on the power play, 3:16 in the game. And then 2.5 minutes later, Tuomo Mobutu scores his second of the season at 5:49 to give the Canes a 2-0 lead. Kind of looking a little bit bleak for the Avalanche, but they come back later in the period and tie it up really, really quickly. Ryan O'Reilly scores his second of the season at 16:16, and then 31 seconds later, Paul Stastny scores his second of the season as well at 16:47 to tie the game at 2 to send it into the second period. Early in the second period, Darcy Tucker hit hard along the boards by Tuomo Mobutu, knocked out cold, hits his head on the ice, plenty of stitches, a big concussion for Darcy Tucker. We have not seen him since. I'll talk about the injuries a little bit in the second segment of the program. Mobutu receives a 5-minute major, a game misconduct, and a 3-game suspension for this. It's interesting how boarding is only called a 5-minute major when the person who gets hit is hurt. I guarantee you if Tucker gets up, no concussion, he gets hit like that, it's a 2-minute minor for boarding. That's how it goes. So it's just it's kind of weird because it's based more on what happens to the player that got boarded rather than what the player's intention was as they boarded the player. So it's just one of those things that it's confusing to me, but that's how the NHL works sometimes. During the power play after the Mobutu hit, Adam Foot went after Tuomo Mobutu, took a 2-minute penalty to knock 2 minutes off the 5-minute major that Tuomo Mobutu got. But during the 3-minute major that the Avalanche kind of enjoyed, they took control of the game. Milan Hayduk scores his fourth of the season at 10 minutes on the power play. And 40 seconds later, Wojciech Wolski scores his fifth of the season at 10:40 to give the Avalanche a 4-2 lead. And then Matt Cullen later in the period scores his third of the season for the Canes, 16:15. And it's 4-3 Avs going into the third period. In the third period, Paul Stastny scores his second of the game, his third of the season at 6:21 on a 5-on-3 to give the Avalanche a 5-3 lead. And then Ray Whitney a couple minutes later scores his fourth of the season at 8:40 the third period to end the scoring for this game. 5-4 Avs win at Pepsi Center. Craig Anderson, 32 saves on 36 shots, and Cam Ward, 31 saves on 36 shots. Here's a few notables for you. You know I like to mention these. Eric Staal had an assist, 6 shots, and 26 penalty minutes. He had a little meltdown, a little hissy fit at 40 seconds left in the game. So good for him. It was great to see him get all frustrated. For our Avalanche, Wojciech Wolski, a goal and assist and 4 shots. Matt Duchene, 2 assists. Milan Hayduk, a goal, assist, and 5 shots. Chris Stewart, 2 assists and 5 shots. Paul Stastny, 2 goals and assist. And Ryan O'Reilly, a goal and assist for our Avs. Kind of ugly. They gave up a lot of goals, but they also scored a lot of goals. It was kind of an ugly win, like I said, but 2 points will work for the Avalanche anytime, any day in the NHL. So October 23rd, the Avalanche beat the Carolina Hurricanes 5-4 at Pepsi Center. Let's do one more game before we get a little break. The 11th game of the season for the Avalanche, October 24th against the Detroit Red Wings. The Avalanche win this one 3-1. Paul Stastny, a double minor on a high stick, 6:30 into the first period. Thought that was going to kind of be the beginning of the end for the Avalanche, knowing how the Red Wings can play, but everything was okay. A little bit after that, Adam Foote takes a Nick Lidstrom slap shot off the side of his face during the penalty kill. It looked like, if for those of you that have seen the Black Taco commercial, the Taco Bell commercial, the dude that has the black eye, yeah, I just thought I'd mention that. My man Eric Sylvester on Twitter challenged me to use Black Taco in the podcast. Eric Sylvester, you got to give me a challenge, man. That was too easy. Anyways, the Avalanche killed a double minor. Craig Anderson, 7 saves. Brett Lebda takes a double minor for high sticking. 1:30 left in the period, and the Avalanche can't convert on that either. So the teams trade double minors, and there's no scoring. In the second period, Chris Draper starts scoring, but for the Red Wings, his second of the season at 3:09 to give the Wings a 1-0 lead. TJ Gagliardi then scores his first of the season for the Avalanche, 14:26 into the second period from Chris Stewart and Adam Foote. The game is tied at 1 going into the third period. And then in the third period, Chris Stewart gives the Avalanche the lead with his first goal of the season at 9:20 from TJ Gagliardi and Kyle Komiskin. The Avalanche take a 2-1 lead, kind of let the air out of the Red Wings' sails. And then Paul Stastny adds an empty netter, his fourth goal of the season at 19 minutes. The Avalanche in this game, which has kind of been the trend lately, which is a little concerning, Craig Anderson – makes 48 saves on 49 shots. The Avalanche are outshot 49-23 in this game. The Avalanche kill all eight penalties called against them, but it's definitely not a good habit you want to get into. A lot of penalties and a few shots is not a good recipe for success in the NHL. Jimmy Howard for the Red Wings, 20 saves on 22 shots. TJ Gagliardi and Chris Stewart, both for the Avalanche, with a goal and assist. The Avalanche win October 24th against the Red Wings, 3-1. Wins against the Red Wings are fun. You got to admit that. I'm not necessarily a Red Wings hater, but wins against them are always fun. Let me get you a little break. I'll get me a little break, and I'll cover the next three games after my last show. Podcast, your home for everything Avalanche. Let's get into the last three games since my last show, and then we'll move on to the news and notes section. So, game 12 for the Avalanche, October 27th against the Edmonton Oilers at Rexall Place in Edmonton. The Avalanche win this one 3-0. 25 seconds into the game, Milan Hayduk takes any energy out of Rexall Place, I believe. Yeah, that's right, Rexall Place. Milan Hayduk scores his fifth at 25 seconds from Scott Hannon, and that pretty much set the tone for the game. Not a whole lot going on the rest of the first period or the second period. Wojtek Wolski takes over in the third period, scores his sixth from Hayduk and Stastny at 9:34, and then he scores an empty netter, his seventh of the season from Paul Stastny, 9-foot at 18:13. This puck never went in. For those of you that are watching the game, might have been a little confused. If you are hooked and there's an empty net, and normally it might lead to a penalty shot, but if there's an empty net, they just score the goal. If there's a penalty and an obvious way to keep you from scoring on the empty net. So that makes sense. And the Avalanche win this one 3-0. Craig Anderson saves all 25 shots that he saw. Nikolai Hobby-Bullen, which is still weird to see him in Edmonton, but we'll see plenty of them. 30 saves on 32 shots. Got to give continued credit to Scott Hannon, who's had a great season so far. A guy that I rode pretty hard last year. He's looking good. You have to admit that. Good return to the NHL for Chris Durno. I'll cover his call-up here in a little bit. The Avalanche outshot the opponent, which is rare this season, but they did that. And the Avalanche moved to number one in the NHL with this win. Who would have thought, you know? So, October 27th, the Avalanche win at Edmonton against the Oilers, 3-0. Craig Anderson with his second shutout of the season. Game 12 for the Avalanche this season, October 28th at the Saddle Dome against the Calgary Flames. The Avalanche win this one 3-2. Things look bleak early. Drew McGinley scored his fourth of the season at 55 seconds. Little wrister that he had just as he crossed the blue line that hit off Kyle Komiski's skate and got by Craig Anderson. 15 seconds later, Olli Jokinen scores his second of the season, deflects off an Avalanche defender in front of the net and goes in. The Avalanche, before they know it, are down 2-0. Unlike the Oilers, the game before, they fight back. David Krejci scores his first of the season from Brett Clark and Ryan Wilson at 7:53, deflection off his thigh in front of Mika Kiprusoff, the Calgary Flames goaltender, but we'll take goals however we can get them. And then 16:38 into the first period, David Jones scores his third of the season from Chris Stewart and Ryan O'Reilly, and the Avalanche tied at 2 going into the second period. No scoring in the second period, and Wojtek Wolski once again scores in the third period, his eighth of the season from Paul Stastny at 5:31, an awesome individual effort. For those of you that saw this goal live or on YouTube or wherever you want to see your highlights, splits two Flame defenders, and Mika Kiprusoff basically just outweights him, and he beats him over as blocker, and the Avalanche win this one 3-2 on Wojtek Wolski's second game-winning goal in as many games. Craig Anderson, 30 saves on 32 shots, and here's where I'm a little bit worried. Mika Kiprusoff only had to make 11 saves on 14 shots. The Avalanche outshot 2-1, and they win this game 3-2. They didn't play their best. They still win, the sign of a good team playing well right now, but a little concerning as far as those numbers. I'll talk a little bit more about those in a little bit. October 28th, the Avalanche beat the Flames at the Pengrow Saddle Dome 3-2 and continue rolling. That was four straight wins for the Avalanche at that point, but that came to a halt. The 13th game of the season, October 30th, against the San Jose Sharks. In San Jose, they lose this one last night 3-1. No scoring in the first period, although it was pretty ugly. Just man, the Sharks are big and strong. Let's just put it that way. In the second period, Joe Thornton lost a tooth after taking a Kyle Quincy shot to the mouth. It's time for you to wear a mouthpiece, Joe Thornton, by the way. The tooth was found on the ice during the commercial break. Altitude picked up all this. It was interesting. The referees kind of skated over and went, hey, what's this on the ice? And getting to balk off the goaltender for the Sharks kind of batted it with a stick and said, hey, that's a chiclet from Joe Thornton's grill. So anyways, he's Russian. I don't think he said that. But anyways, that was kind of the big highlight. Ryan Close scored his first goal of the season, 1954, in the second period and took all the momentum away from the Avalanche, any that they had. But, this reminded me of a story. My dad's a children's dentist, and his favorite story to tell is a hockey player somehow lost his or her tooth, a little kid, during a game, or I don't know what happened. But anyways, the Zamboni picks it up, and it's in the pipes of the Zamboni. So they actually go back in. They check in the pipes of the Zamboni. They find the kid's tooth, and they put it back in, and there you go. So they can do some amazing stuff. I'm sure Joe Thornton is hurting today. He's a hockey player. He was back not long after that, but time for a mouthpiece, sir. So anyways, Danny Heatley in the third period scored his ninth at 3:59. Matt Duchene gave the Avalanche some ray of hope with his second goal of the year, a shorthander from Adam Foote at 9:34. He was working his tail off, obviously the best skater for the Avalanche in this game. But 30 seconds later, the Avs have a habit of doing this for the last few seasons. Jamie McGinn scores his first of the season at 10:04. And just when I'm ready to, say, are you nervous, Sharks fans, which is what I said in a tweet, that went away. So the Avalanche lose this one 3-1. Craig Anderson, 43 saves on 46 shots. And Evgeny Dabakov for the Sharks, 24 saves on 25 shots. The Avalanche, 0-for-5 on the power play, struggling big time on that lately. Might have something to do with their health. I'll talk about that in a second. And Rob Blake, for those of you that watch the game, he still has it when he's healthy, and it sure would be nice to see him in an Avalanche uniform still, but that's not the case. He was a beast. I don't know how many shots on net he had. I don't know how many shots attempted he had, but, man, he played really well. I'll give him beast status for that game last night. October 30th, the Avalanche lose at San Jose at the Shark Tank against the San Jose Sharks, 3-1. Four-game winning streak comes to an end. Kind of feels bad. You lose a little bit of confidence, but, it's cool. The Avalanche will be okay. Let's take it game by game. So those are your six games since my last show. I've covered all 13 games for you so far this season. I'll be right back. I got plenty of news and notes for you. I will update you on all the injuries, all the call-ups, all the new guys joining. I've got some numbers that you'll be a little bit excited about and some numbers that you'll be a little bit nervous about. Stick around. I've got everything. This is your home for everything Avalanche. I'm your host, JV. This is the TJ Gagliardi edition of the show, jersey number 43, episode number 43. Here are your news and notes since my last show. October 18th, the Avalanche announced that 18-year-olds Matt Duchene and Ryan O'Reilly will stay with the team for the entire season. Little doubt that Duchene was going to be with the team the whole time. Ryan O'Reilly, what a pleasant surprise. I'll talk about him in just a few minutes. He's looked great, and it's nice to pick up those second rounders that really have that big impact. Paul Stastny, anyone? But the Avalanche announced that the 18-year-olds, the youngsters, will stay with the team. That's good news. October 19th, the Avalanche's goaltender, Craig Anderson, was once again named the NHL second star for the week. Four straight wins, a 2.2 goals against, a .928 save percentage, and most impressive of all of this was done on the road. Craig Anderson, congratulations on your second time being named the NHL second star of the week. October 20th, the Avalanche reassigned forward Chris Stewart to the Lake Erie Monsters of the American Hockey League. Not the type of player you want sitting around game by game. You want him to play, so he'll most likely be back after a forward gets injured. Hopefully he's ready. I wrote that on like October 20th. Yeah, call me Swami. October 22nd, the Avalanche recalled forward Chris Stewart after playing in two games for the Lake Erie Monsters. He was recalled because of Cody McLeod's facial injury of near his eye. Non-call was not real cool on that. But Chris Stewart is back, and the way he's played, well, not the last couple games, but the games before that, he wants no part of Lake Erie anytime soon. Chris Stewart looking fairly decent lately. October 23rd, the Avalanche recalled goaltender Tyler Wyman due to Peter Budaj getting the H1N1 flu. Peter Budaj was to start against the Hurricanes, as far as everybody knew, but Craig Anderson started instead. So that's Tyler Wyman for you. October 24th, the Avalanche placed forward Cody McLeod on the injured reserve and called up forward Brian Rosie from the Lake Erie Monsters of the AHL. October 24th, Darcy Tucker was released from the hospital after his big hit from Tuomo Ruutu, a concussion and 40 stitches after being hit from behind. Ruutu was suspended, like I said, by the NHL for 3 games for that hit. October 25th, the Avalanche placed Darcy Tucker officially on the injured reserve and recalled forward Chris Durno from the Lake Erie Monsters in the American Hockey League. Durno's a big guy. I always root for the big guys because I'm kind of a tall guy myself. He's looked okay lately. The injuries are piling up. We'll talk about that in a minute. October 30th was a busy day in Avalanche news. The Avalanche recalled Philippe Dupuis from the Lake Erie Monsters. The Avalanche placed Matt Hendricks on injured reserve, retroactive to October 24th, with a groin injury. The Avalanche reassigned goaltender Tyler Wyman to Lake Erie without appearing in a game. Again, you want your goaltenders playing. I don't know. Maybe we can get into the Budaj-Wyman discussion at some other time, but you don't want your goaltender sitting around, and that's what Tyler Wyman would do if he was playing behind Craig Anderson. Honestly, as an Avalanche fan, I don't think you could argue I'd rather have Peter Budaj sitting around than Tyler Wyman. I think Tyler Wyman's the backup of the future. I haven't seen him play quite enough, but you want your goaltenders of the future who are eventually going to have those roles within the organization. You want them playing. You don't want them playing once a week and just being those practice players. So anyways, Tyler Wyman reassigned on October 30th. And also on October 30th, defenseman John Michael Lyles was activated from the injury reserve after missing the past 7 games with a shoulder injury. So one guy comes back from the injured reserve, and I think the Avalanche placed 2 or 3 more people on the injury reserve since then. Not good. TJ Gagliardi, I didn't mention that. TJ Gagliardi, it was also mentioned that he will be out 4 to 6 weeks after injuring his right ankle a couple games ago as well. So the injuries are piling up. Let's talk about injuries real quick. Defenseman Ruslan Soleil, his back, no return time has been stated yet for him. Defenseman Tom Pricing is close to returning from a knee injury. He went on this latest road trip for the Avalanche, and hopefully he'll be back sometime soon. Ryan Wilson sat last night because John Michael Lass came back. So I don't know. It's good to have that organizational depth, but you definitely don't want to use it this often. Forwards, Darcy Tucker's out indefinitely with concussion and stitches. TJ Gagliardi, like I said, 4 to 6 weeks with a right ankle injury. I think they'll eventually put him on the injured reserve. Matt Hendricks is on the injured reserve, like I said, with a groin injury, and Cody McLeod is on the injured reserve with the eye injury. I think I got everybody on that one. So there's your injury update. Too bad it's so long, and it's starting to wear on the team. Those along with the road games, you start to get a tired team with not as much depth. But we'll see how they handle it coming up. Let's talk numbers real quick. I gave you a lot of great numbers as to why the Avalanche were doing so well in the last show. Let's talk about some things that are exciting in a way, but also they worry me in a way. Craig Anderson is the story of this team so far. No doubt about that. A career backup with the Florida Panthers. I can't remember if he was with any of their organizations, but this is his first chance to start, and he's definitely taking advantage of that. Here's some numbers. Save percentage, he is currently second in the league with a .939 save percentage. Goals against, he's third in the league. Actually, let me go back. Second in the league, save percentage behind Buffalo's Ryan Miller. Goals against, he's third in the league with a 2.04 goals against behind Ryan Miller and Phoenix's Ilya Bryskalov. Shutouts, he's second in the league by himself with 2 shutouts behind Ilya Bryskalov, who has 3. And in wins, the most important factor, he's leading the league right now with 10 wins for our Colorado Avalanche. Great story, Craig Anderson, so far. I'll give him beast status, too. So Rob Blake, Craig Anderson, beast status for the show. What I'm worried about, though, first of all, the power play. Near the top last time I did a show, right now they're the 11th in the league, and they're obviously not moving the wrong direction. Not a whole lot of pressure. This has got to do with the injuries as well. You got some guys that would otherwise not be playing on the power play. You got Darcy Tucker out. Cody McLeod plays a little bit on the power play as well. TJ Gagliardi as well. He's on the penalty kill and the power play. You got some guys out that play some serious rough minutes for the Avalanche. So the power play moving the wrong direction, that's worrisome. Also, the Avalanche are 27th in the league with allowing 34.1 shots per game so far. Here's who's behind them and where they are in the standings. The Edmonton Oilers are 28th in the league right now. They are 7 full points behind the Avalanche. That's 3 full wins behind the Avs. 29th in the league is the Anaheim Ducks. They have 9 points overall. They have 3 games in hand on the Avalanche, but that really wouldn't make a difference. And they are 14th in the Western Conference. Last in the league with shots allowed per game are the Florida Panthers. They have 7 points overall. They have 3 games in hand on the Avalanche. They're 14th in the Eastern Conference. Here's my point. Craig Anderson goes cold. The Avs are in big, big trouble. They need to start scoring goals, and they need to start playing some defense. And I'm not quite sure whether this has to do with personnel, whether it has to do with the system, or whether it has to do with, you know, I don't know. But the Avalanche need to start taking care of the puck in their own zone and really limiting the shots on Craig Anderson, because right now he's hot, he's playing well. But if he gets tired, if he gets a little dinged up, if he gets a little bit colder, the Avalanche aren't going to have much of a chance getting outshot like 2-1 every other game. It's not going to work. So that's why I'm a little bit worried. But nonetheless, here's why I'm excited. The Avalanche still lead the Western Conference by 3 full points, and they're tied with the Penguins for number 1 in the league. The unexpected start has been really, really nice. Enjoy it while it lasts. Take it game by game. Unexpected surprises with Ryan O'Reilly as well. He's plus 10. He's 4th in the entire league with plus minus, and he's been a really, really nice surprise. Brought a lot of great energy. Kind of worked really, really well with Darcy Tucker. Kind of revived Darcy Tucker until he was knocked out, literally, of the game the other night. But the injuries are starting to stack up. Hang on for the ride. We'll see how the Avalanche kind of get through this, and you got to hold on until you get some of your starters back and some of those guys that helped you get off to a great start to begin with. So there's your news and notes, a little insider information, but you got to talk stats every once in a while. So like I said, enjoy the ride. Take it game by game. We don't need to talk about postseason awards or whether Craig Anderson should play on Team USA. We can't control any of that. Just let's keep cheering for our team and enjoy the ride that they're on. And hopefully they can hang on until we get some of the guys back. Of the show. I'm your host, JV. Thanks for joining me. I'm almost done. I know I've taken up enough of your time, but let's cover the upcoming games for the Avalanche, the next 9 games for the Avalanche. Tomorrow, November 1st, the Avalanche will play at Vancouver against the Canucks. That will be an 8 p.m. Mountain Time start. I always think, oh man, got to watch Bertuzzi again, but then I remind myself he's playing for the Red Wings. But Vancouver, Bertuzzi, it'll always be kind of a nice, not nice, but a combination that we're all aware of as Avalanche fans. Anyways, tomorrow, November 1st, the Avalanche will play at 8 p.m. Mountain against the Canucks in Vancouver. Their next game after that, Wednesday, November 4th, against the Coyotes, and Friday, November 6th, against the Blackhawks, both at Pepsi Center, both 7 p.m. Mountain Time starts on those. So the Avalanche return home for 3 straight games. Actually, Sunday, November 8th, the Avalanche will play against the Oilers at Pepsi Center. That will be a 6 p.m. Mountain start on that. And then they hit the road for 1 game. Wednesday, November 11th, the Avalanche will play at the Chicago Blackhawks at the United Center at 6:30 Mountain Time start for that game. And then the Avalanche return home Saturday, November 14th to play the Canucks. That will be an 8 p.m. Mountain Time start for that. And then they come, actually, this is a whole stretch of Northwest Division opponents. Tuesday, November 17th, the Avalanche will play at Calgary against the Flames again at 7:30 Mountain. On Wednesday, November 18th, the Avalanche will play at Edmonton against the Oilers. That will be a 7 o'clock Mountain Time start on that. And then the 9th game, since I started talking about games, Friday, November 20th, the Avalanche will play at Vancouver against the Canucks again at 8 p.m. Mountain Time start on that one. So we got a few a fair amount out of those 9 games. I believe, let's see, 5 of them will be against division opponents. Those are always important. You got to grab those points when you can get them, and we'll kind of see how it goes. Interesting that they play the Blackhawks 2 more times. So Wednesday, November 11th, we're, you know, a little about 5 weeks into the season. They've played the Blackhawks 3 times already, so they'll only have to play them 1 more time. for the rest of the season. So I guess that's a good thing. We'll see how it goes. So there's your upcoming games for the Avalanche, and definitely exciting. We'll see how things go from there. All right, here's where to find me on the interweb. My main site for now is avshockeypodcast.podomatic.com. You can get links to all the blogs that I like to read. Visit all the people I like to visit. I think you'll be very well informed. Really soon, sometime between this show, while I'm speaking to you, and the next show, probably in a couple weeks, I'm going to have a new site. So I will let you know, for those of you that follow me on Facebook and Twitter, when that new site is live. I cannot thank James Tape Leg Graylian from the Rink Podcast enough for all of his help. You guys go listen to his show. He's another podcaster. We've done one joint show together. We are planning another one in the next couple months so we can kind of get caught up on the Avalanche and everything. He is unbelievable. He has a passion for podcasting like no other person I've ever met, and he has really, really helped me out when it comes to setting up my new site so I don't have to worry about Podomatic. It's going to get everything back onto iTunes, which is where I've needed it for a while to get definitely get some more fans involved. And the rinkpodcast.com, he had a great, his newest show is a great conversation with Eddie Garcia from the Puck Podcast. For those of you that follow hockey podcasts anywhere on the internet, James Tape Leg Graylian is the man. So when you see my new site, I'm going to keep giving him credit, and he's going to like it. But you can do me a favor. If you go over and listen to his show, it's not necessarily Avs related, although the Avalanche are his favorite team. If you like hockey, if you have a passion for the game, you will like his podcast. He has a passion for hockey and a passion for podcasting, and they go really, really well together. So James Tape Leg Graylian helping me on my new site. I'll let you know when that's live on my Facebook page, on the Twitter page, and anywhere in between. So speaking of Facebook, my Facebook fan page, you can go ahead and check that out if you are on Facebook and you're listening to this. Just search for the Avs Hockey Podcast in Facebook. You'll find me. Become a fan. I'll keep you up to date on everything Avalanche, just like I do on the show. A great place for you guys to connect with me in between shows. Facebook fan page, go check it out, the Avs Hockey Podcast. I'm also on Twitter, AVSHKY, PODCAST. Would love to have you follow me there. I tweet during the games, in between games, sometimes depending on when the game starts. I have to put my daughter to bed, so I usually catch up after about the first period, period and a half, and then I'm live again. So keep checking with me there. Random thoughts about the Avalanche. Why not follow me? AVSHKYPODCAST. If you'd like to email me, if you have any suggestions, if you'd like to just get in touch, if you have any comments, I'd love to hear from you. AvalanchePodcast@comcast.net is my email address. I'd love to hear from you, like I said. Thank you so much for listening, and I always enjoy the feedback. I will be on iTunes here sometime in the near future as well, so look for me there. I'll have the big update for you. The next show probably within the next couple weeks. Also follow the Avs Play of the Week on the Avalanche's main site. It's kind of a fun thing they're doing. They'll have a bracket-type playoff extravaganza at the end of the season. Wojtek Volski's, he has a couple goals that are nominated this week and also a save by Craig Anderson. Go check that out at avalanche.nhl.com. That's the Avalanche's main site. If you're an Avalanche fan, you know where that is already. So I post every once in a while on the avalanchetalk.com blog. You can go check us out there. You can also join us avalanchetalk.com/forum. Avalanche buddy Kevin Nash runs the whole show over there, so definitely go join us there if you want to talk Avalanche hockey anywhere else. All kinds of places to find me. I'd love to hear from you and connect with you. So that's about it for episode number 43 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for everything Avalanche, TJ Gagliardi edition. Hopefully he gets well sooner than later. But thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate your time. And keep enjoying the season. It's unexpected. It's fun. And there's never anything wrong with that. So until the next time, let's go Avs. Take care. And I'll see you next time. We'll be Avs Hockey Podcast. See you. We'll be right back.